Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Pei Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the very bottom line of daf Pei Omid Beis. Before we begin the Gemara, we glance in the margin where we have our nosei, a topic heading, which we indicate in parentheses ad Pei Beis Omid Aleph. So we'll be occupied with a particular topic until then, and we've written Asara Tanoim, 10 conditions or stipulations, Shehisna Yehoshua B'Yerushas Haaretz, that Yehoshua, upon entrance into the land of Israel, made these conditions that are of a public nature, 10 of them in total. As we look at our markings, you'll notice a rather unusual situation, a frame, but it's a dashed frame. We have a note on the side why we've done this. Simanu Mizgeres Mekuv Keves. We've noted a dashed frame. Al Smach Maskonas HaGemara LeKamen Pei Beis Omid Aleph. Based on the conclusion of the Gemara that we'll find on the Pei Beis Omid Aleph, the Zu Eino Moker Tanoi. This is not a Tanaic source, Elo Mipiv Shel Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. It's an Amoraic teaching from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Then I wanted to note that B'chol Zos Manyeng L'tzayin, and nevertheless it's interesting to note, Shirashi B'sof Pei Aleph Omid Beis, Shura Achrona, the last line there in the Rashi, Imisyachis Lozek Hebraisa, he refers to this as a Braisa. The truth is that up till the Pei Beis Omid Aleph, the Gemara is viewing it as a Braisa, so Rashi could very well be presenting it as it appears up till that point. In fact, you have here the introductory words at the bottom of Pei Omid Beis, Tanu Rabbanan, which almost always introduces a Tanaic source. So now we go into the source, Asara Tanoim Hisno Yehoshua. There are 10 conditions that Yehoshua made with regard to the Jewish people upon their entrance to the land. The source lists off 10. Rashi comments on many of them as we go along. However, do note that after this framed source, you'll notice numbers begin to appear in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you keep track of these numbers, you see on this Omid, number, you get to 4, and when you get to Omid Beis, the numbering will continue. And if you follow it clear down the page, you'll see you'll get up to a number 11. Ah, but we said there are 10. So the Gemara will deal with that seeming extra number. So we'll go through the list in the source, recognizing that the Gemara will add to each one of them in its location. So the first condition that Yehoshua made was Shiu Marin B'Chorshin, that people's animals shall graze in forests, even if a forest happens to be privately owned, that the owner of the forest shall not be object to it. Number 2, Umalaktin Eitzim B'Sudusehem. The public has a right to collect, literally, wood from someone else's field. And this, you'll see number 3, a similar takona, umalakti masovim, to collect grasses, b'chol mokim, chutz mitilson, except for a field in which tilson grows, because there, the presence of the grass is beneficial for the tilson crop. We're not translating tilson. Rashi gives a foreign word for it. For our purposes, it's not essential to know what it is, other than recognize it's a plant that people cultivate. These points will, they might sound a little strange. What do you mean, go into people's fields and take wood from there, take branches? What's going on? We'll see later in the Gemara. Number four, V'kutmin netiyos b'chol mokim chutz migrupios shel zayas. Literally, kutmin netiyos would mean to break off branches from someone's tree in the interest of your taking that and planting it or grafting it onto your own tree. And the condition stated here is that allow people to do that, and the owner of the tree shall not object. There again, it sounds like the Wild West, where anyone can do whatever they want. They can just pluck off branches from people's trees. What's going to be left? The Gemara will qualify that as well. The heter, the allowance of cutting off branches from people's trees, was qualified here and said chutz migrupios shel zayas. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Chutz migrupios shel zayas. Hakotzeis zeisov lisroif. One who cuts his olive tree for fuel purposes. Meiniach shtei grupios melos shnei egroifim. He cuts branches off the tree but leaves two fist lengths. Two fist lengths still attached to the tree. Kinoar moichas asfina. V'chein machlifois umotzias badin. When you break off a branch from the olive tree, you leave at the end of the branch, my impression is the part that's close to the trunk, you leave two fist lengths, and they will, from that point, new branches will be produced. Umisham ein lichtom netiyom neshemavsides agrupios. From there, you shall not take off branches because that ruins the grupios part that you left. We continue in the list. Mayon hayotze bitchilo v'neir mistapkin mimenu. Mayon is a live spring that starts to flow forth from someone's field. You must allow the public to draw water from there. The term Yotze B'tchila means it's a new flow of water. Rashi points out this is an allowance to benefit from the new spring, all the more so from a spring that's been flowing already. Number six, Umechakin B'yoma Shel Tveria. Mechakin, the word has as its root chokah. Chokah is a hook, as in fishing. So that the Yama Shel Tveria, the Lake of Tiberias, maybe you're familiar with by the term Kinneret, that is a body of water that's in, it's part of the tribe of Naphtali. Naphtali, one of the 12 tribes that received parts of Eretz Israel. So this is in the Naphtali section, yet the agreement was, or the condition that Joshua stated, is that people from all tribes can extend their fish hooks into the Tiberias Sea for fishing purposes. Ubilvad shelo yifrois kela v'yamid es hasfina. This is describing another form of fishing where people would wooden poles or stakes into the water close to one another. Fish would flow, would swim into these enclosed areas, fenced off areas, underwater fenced off areas, and it'd be very easy to catch them from there. This one shall not do, though, over there in the Yama Shel Tveria, because that interferes with the flow of the floating of boats, the sailing of boats. Apparently these fence-like pole arrangements, though they were underwater, the tops of the poles apparently reached close to the surface of the water or protruded above the surface of the water. That would interfere with sailing efforts on the part of boats. Number 7, V'nifnin l'achori ha-geder v'afilu b'stei sodom aloy karkayim. This is deals with a person's body needs, to when a person needs to relieve himself. He's entitled to go to the other side of a fence, and you're basically standing within someone's field, even if that field happens to be producing karkum. Karkum is a type of spice plant that happens to be very expensive. Nevertheless, Yoshua made a condition that for the public benefit, a person has a right to go into someone else's field and relieve himself. And not only that, but we'll see later in the Gemara, to remove stones from the fence. And all of this is private property. You can remove stones from the fence in order to clean oneself after one relieves himself. The use of stones for hygienic purposes is something that we've seen in other Gemaras as well. So this is allowed, and even though it's diminishing the fence. Number 8. Umahalchin b'shvilei harashus ad sheterei revia shnia. The best thing for us to do is to go directly to Rashi. Umahalchin b'shvilei harashus. Shvilei are paths. Harashus, we'll see, has to do with permission. Stam b'nei odom mishechnisu tvosom. Standard people, once they harvest their grains, ad shas hazria, until the planting season arrives, mafkirim sudasam, they renounce, so they in actual monetary terms, but it's as if they renounce ownership of the fields. They withdraw any objections they may have to having people cut through their fields. That's the idea of mafkirin. They literally renounce their fields. For what purpose? Likones ben kolonim, allowing anyone who wants to cut through to go through. Lekatsir sederech, cutting through a field can oftentimes shorten what we call a shortcut through someone's field. Shelo yakif, thereby saving them from the need to go all around. Vehein nikroin, this idea of cutting through people's fields, are called shvilei horashus, the permitted paths. Lefishe berashus oisin, they are doing so with permission. Vehisnu Yoshua shelo yakpidu alkach. Once again, we see that Yoshua made his condition that the owners of fields shall not object to it. So that during that particular point in the agricultural season, after harvest, before planting, where people trampling through the fields aren't going to impose any damage on the fields. Nothing is growing there now. So they have a right to cut through as a shortcut. And the Gemara said, this permission lasts until the second rainfall, Ad Sheteret Revi'a Shnia, which happens to be the 17th of Cheshvan. From that point on, the plants start to sprout forth, and the trampling through will injure them. Number 9, Umistalkin Litzidei Hadrochim Mipnei Yesedes Hadrochim. Rashi, Umistalkin Litzidei Hadrochim This allowance is all seasons. Even when plants are, when the grains are growing in the fields, hifkir l'chol odom l'stalek min haderech, a person has a right to go along the border of the field, the border of a field that runs parallel to the roads. Why would someone want to step off the road and walk along the fields that parallel the roads? Bitnei hayisedos, because of literally the pegs. The likones ligvul sade chaver velelich al hametzar etzal aderech. Walk along the border of the field on the person's on the field border, and not on the road. What are these yesedos? So Rashi continues and explains, "Mitnei Yisaidis Hadrochim b'moisachama in the summer season, Yovesh Hatid." We're dealing with an environment where you didn't have paved roads with asphalt or concrete, but rather dirt roads. And in the summertime, the dirt became very dry, and as a result, cracks developed in the road. And Venasik Yisedois, it became as if every part of the road was a separate peg. Mokum Jesus Odom, where people would ordinarily walk, Ubehema, Shedorsu Shambi Mosachoref, the part of the road where during the winter time when it was moist, people were able to walk on the road, Venasu Kishisos. Now it became in the summertime because of the sun drying it all out, these cracks developed, making it very difficult to walk on the road surface. So this was number 9, the permission to walk along within people's fields, along the border of the field. Number 10, Vatoya Bein HaKromim, someone who lost his way, and he finds himself in the middle of someone's vineyard. He has a right, mafsig v'ole mafsig v'yored. He has a right to, in order to cut through the dense growth of the vineyard, he has a right to break off branches to go up and break off branches to go down till he gets to the road, till he gets back to where he has to be. And we have number 11. You'll notice we put it in parentheses because of the problem we introduced before. He said there were 10 conditions, and here now we have an 11th point. Umeis mitzvah kainu mekaimai. That would mean where a person, where a body is found, and no one is claiming relations to it, connection to it, that's called a meis mitzvah. It's a meis, a corpse that no one is attempting to bury. If you find a body lying in that fashion, you bury it where you found it, where it fell. And the owner of the field in which this body may have been found cannot object to your burying it right there. Because, once again, meis mitzvah, the unaccounted for corpse, kainu mekomo, acquires the spot on which it was found. And now we go over the points one by one. Number 1, Shiu Marin Bechorshin. Omar Papa. This condition stated that people can have their animals graze in private forests, and owners of forests shall not object. So Omar Papa lo Amoron Ella. Now here we have qualifications. This permission is Ella Dako Begasa. That means small type animals, sheep and goats, as opposed to cows and bulls. Those are daka, small type animals, begasa, in thick in forests with thick trees, with large, strong trees. But all other combinations will not be allowed. Aval daka bedaka, small animals grazing around sapling type trees, small trees, thin trees, begasa begasa, large animals amongst large trees, lo, those are not allowed. V'cholshigen gasa bedaka de lo, and all the more so, large animals amongst thin trees will certainly be prohibited. U'malakdin eitzin misodoy sehem. The second point had to do with gathering wood or twigs from people's fields. Lo amoron ella. Now, as you go down the next couple of lines, we've squiggle underlined the expression lo amoron ella. That means this halacha will be qualified, will be whittled down to a very fine point of permission. In other words, it's not anything like you think by reading just the words in the source. What do we mean that you're allowed to gather wood from people's fields? Lo amoran ella behizmi behigi. That's a reference to twigs and thorns, very fine, small, thorny type wood. Aval bishar eitzim lo, but other kinds of wood, you're not allowed to take. Afilu behizmi behigi, even with that you're allowed to take, lo amoran elo b'mechuborin. It's only if it's still attached, it's still growing. Aval betlushin, if the owner of the field detached them, and he left them there, but he detached them, you're not allowed to take it. He, after all, he troubled himself to detach it for himself. Well, you have no right to come and take it. V'afilu b'mechuborin, and even when you're dealing with attached, hizmi v'higi, lo amorin elo balach. That's only if they still have moisture to them, aval b'yaveshim lo. But attached, dried out hizmi v'higi, you would not be allowed to collect. Ubavad shelo yisharesh. And all of this is qualified that you don't yisharesh. Yisharesh from the word shoresh means root, that you don't uproot it. In other words, you would break it off at the ground level, not uproot it, and that you can take. So what are we left with at the end? The permission is to take moist, attached hizmi v'higi, and do not uproot them. Cut them, yes, but not uproot. Umalatim asovim b'cholmok. Maybe we should, before we go on, I just will state the obvious. Why would someone want to collect twigs and thorns? So the answer to that is it's useful for fuel purposes. Number three, umalatin asovim b'cholmokim chutz misode tilson. Permission is granted to gather grass wherever, except for a field in which the tilson plant is cultivated. The Gemara asks, Lememra de tilson malu lo asovim? Are you suggesting that for tilson, asovim grasses malu lo means are beneficial? That grasses are beneficial for tilson, viramini, we raise a contradiction. This is a brief source coming from the realm of Kilayim, the prohibition of having different kinds of plants growing together. Tilson she'olsa im minei asovim, a tilson crop that is growing amongst different kinds of grasses, ein mechayven oisoi lakor. We don't force the owner of such property to uproot the grasses. Why not? He's going to uproot them anyway. They're bad for his tilson. So even though we don't want people maintaining kilayim, people will have their own motivation to uproot it without the court interfering. So what do you see from here? You see that when that grass is not beneficial for tilson. A moment before you said you can collect grasses except from a tilson field because grasses are beneficial for the tilson. From here you see that you're going to uproot it anyway because the tilson is bad for you. The grasses are bad for your tilson crop. Amar Rav Yirmiya, lo kashya. Kan lezera, kan lezirin. It depends why you are cultivating tilson. If you're cultivating the tilson for zera, for the seed quality, the seed property of the tilson, the zera kashu lo asovim, the makshi lo, the presence of grasses there weakens or reduces the quality of the seed. However, lezirin, if you're cultivating the tilson for the zirin part of the tilson plant, mali lo asovim, the presence of grass is beneficial, the chikaimi beni asovim, mirkava. When the tilson plant that you're cultivating for the zirin is found amongst grasses, the grasses serve as a support for the tilson plant. Iboyesema, another way of resolving the seeming contradiction. On the one hand, in our list of 10 tanoim of Yoshua, grass appeared to be beneficial for tilson. And we have this kilayim source that said the grass is not beneficial for tilson. Kan la'odom, kan la'behema. It depends what you're raising the tilson for. If you're raising it for human consumption, then you don't want the grass there. That would be a reflection of the kilayim source that we read. Kan la'behema, our list of 10 tanoim that says that do not take the grass from a tilson field, that's where you're raising the tilson for as animal feed. And we explained the kevon del beimahu the zara, since you planted the tilson for your animals, asovin nami mivi law, the grasses you also need as part of the animal's diet. And then, therefore, in a tilson field being cultivated for animal feed, you cannot take the grasses. Umeno yadinon. Well, how will we know if the grasses were planted for a person? If the grasses are in a tilson field planted for people consumption, or grasses are in a tilson field planted for behemoth consumption? How do you know? Omar of Papa, Share Mishari Ladam. If the plants are planted in rows, Share Mishari, like the word Shura, rows, planted in an orderly fashion, that's an indication that the tilson growing there is being cultivated for people as a human food. Lo Share Mishari, if the tilson was planted in a random fashion, not in a systematic row orderly fashion, so then it was planted for the animals to eat. That's lebehema, and in a case like that, as we said before, you would not be allowed to collect the grasses from there. Number four, v'kaitmin netia b'chol mokim chutz migrupios shel zayas, the permission of breaking off branches from trees, wherever, except from the grupios shosayas. Grupios was a reference to the two fist lengths left on an olive tree after the owner had pruned his tree for fuel purposes. Pirish Reb Tanchum Rabbi Bryce Mishum Zokein Echad. Rabbi Tanchum and Rabbi Bryce explained in the name of a particular sage. Here there is a list of, say, three types of trees. Bezayas Kibetza. When you're dealing with a zayas, an olive tree, so then Kibetza. Rashi, in the lower part of the Rashi commentary, Bezayas Kibetza, Kishir Gova Betza, Tzorch Loniach Min Hazayas Milamata Somuch Legeza. When you're breaking off from an olive tree a branch, you must leave the distance or the length of an egg's length from the end of the branch till the trunk of the tree, so that you're not to break off the branch from the trunk itself, but leave a little bit of branch left before you cut it off. How much to leave? Kibetza, an egg length. Bekonim ubigfanim minapkak ulamala. When it comes to breaking off from reeds or from grapevines, from the pkak. Pkak is the knot that you find in these trees. So from the from above the knot, you're allowed to break off branches. Ushar kol ilanos, all with regard to all other trees, min uvo shel ilan velo min chudo shel ilan. The allowance to break off branches from other fruit trees has here, there are three qualifications, three limitations. So the first is this, min uvo shel ilan velo min chudo shel ilan. What do those phrases mean? So Rashi has two approaches. We can look together at the Rashi. Five lines from the bottom. Me iboy shel ilan, me pirio klomar, me anofin harakin vadakim. You're allowed to break off in, as part of this tnai, rakin are soft and dakin thin branches. Velo mechudo, what does that mean? Not from chudo, me'anofim gedolim v'gasim ke'ilon gomer. Not from husky, large, complete branches which are like a complete tree. That you're not allowed to cut off. Rashi has a second approach that you can look at on your own. We continue in the Gemara. Number two, meaning the second qualification when it comes to other kinds of trees and the allowance to cut off a branch from them, min chodosh she'eno oisaperes, from a new branch that is not producing fruits, velo min yoshen shu oisaperes, not from an old branch that's already been producing fruits. And number three, mimokom she'eno roya esachama, from a part of the tree that's not exposed to direct sunlight. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, velo mimokom shu roya esachama, not from a part of the tree that receives direct sunlight. Why not? Shenemar, well, the Pusik says, Umimeged tvuos shemesh. Meged are delicacies, sweets, best quality fruit, finest tasting fruit comes from where the sun, tvuos shemesh means like the produce of the sun. So from that part of the tree, you're not allowed to cut off your branches that you're entitled to. That would be too much of a loss to the owner. Umayon, this is number five. Umayon hayotze mitchila b'nei oyer mistapken mimenu, a reference to a live spring that started flowing from someone's privately owned field. The townsfolk can draw water from there. Omar Rabba Bar Avuna v'noisein loy domim. He says, yes, they can draw water, but they have to pay the owner of the field from which the spring was sprouting, was flowing forth. You gotta pay. But the Gemara says rejects Rabba's requirement to pay. Umechakin biyama shel tveria bevad shelo yifrois kela biyami desasvina. The permission of setting out hooks for fishing purposes, but not using the stake pole method. Tonu Rabbonon, Borishona, in the beginning, Hisnu Shvotim Ze Im Ze, the tribes made entered an agreement one with the other, Shelo Yifros Kliya V'yamid Es Hasfina, not to use the Kliya method of fishing, which would interfere with the sailing of boats. We mentioned that Kliya, we saw Shalifros as Kela, the setting up of those poles in the water, creating enclosed areas in which to trap the fish, but that would interfere with the sailing of boats. Aval Tzadhu Berushosois Uva Michmoros. But Tzad is to trap with using nets and other kinds of Michmoros, other kinds of traps. That is acceptable. Tonu Rabbonon. Yomo shel Tveria b'chelko shel Naphtali hoisa. The Yam, the Sea of Tiberias, the Lake Kinneret, as many refer to it, is in the Naphtali tribe. It's within the portion that he received. V'lo oid elo shenotal m'lo chevel harom b'dromo l'kayem mash emar Yam v'dorom yorosha. We mentioned that Naphtali received the Tiberias Lake as within his portion. He also receives at the southern part of the lake a strip of land that enables one to spread out his nets and function, we'll say. This idea of on the southern point of this Tiberias Lake, the tribe of Naphtali got an additional strip of land, is a fulfillment of the pasuk which says Yam, the sea, and Dorom, the south, that strip of land around the south southern shore of the Tiberias Lake, Yorosha, Naphtali inherits. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Omer, Tlushim Shebaharim Becheskas Kol Ashvatim Hein Oindim. Tlushim means that which is detached. Rocks, pebbles, and the sort, that are on mountains, but they're detached from the mountain, all the tribes have a right to take that. Rocks and boulders and whatever that is attached to a mountain is part of the ownership of that particular tribe. It's not available for the general public to take from. There isn't a tribe in Israel dealing with the land apportionment that didn't receive these four different types of geography: mountain, low-lying areas, Negev is dry type land, Emek is valley type topography. So each tribe had all four of these different geographical or topographical phenomena. Shneamar, the pasuk says, "Pnu sulachem bo har emori velkol shchena baravo bahar bashvelu banegev." Here you have a reference to the different types of land location and land characteristic, and it also says uba chof hayam. You find similarly that the predecessor nations, each one of them had these different land qualities, land phenomena in their respective areas. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Ve'el kol shchenov," in the shchenov, the neighbors. That's a reference to the nations that inhabited the land before the Jewish people came. Almos Shechinov Hachihavu. You see from the Pasuk that the Shechinov, those nations that occupied the land before the Jews came, had this, had within their areas those same characteristics that were found amongst the various parts of Eretz Yisrael after it was divided. Just for the sake of accuracy, the pasuk that we cited, Pnu Sulachem, this is a pasuk referring to the, we'll say, the entrance to the land of Israel, and the pasuk mentioned Arava, Har, Shvela, the different kinds of geographical phenomenon in the land of Israel. The pasuk cites the Amorite people, but we know that there were seven nations, so that in the source, it was pointed out that we find by the Canaanim, the Prizim, and the Amoraim, the others, all the others had that multiple geographical land quality to them, as the pasuk says, "Ve'el kol shchenov," as the Gemara concluded, "Alma shchenov hochihavu." All of the those other nations, in addition to the Amorites that occupied what will be the land of Israel, had those qualities too. Venifnim, this is number 7. Venifnim lachori hageder, the right that anyone has to relieve himself on the other side of a person's fence. Rafilu besodeshi mleo karkum, even if within that field the owner is raising karkum. Omar Rav Acha bar Yankiv lo nitzrucha ela litol heimenu tzror. The special allowance that Yehoshua had stipulated was not just to go into the field to relieve yourself. I'm not sure that you would need a special stipulation for that, but you could even remove a stone from the fence for hygienic purposes. Omer of Chistov afilu b'Shabbos. One would be allowed to do this even on Shabbos, because the issue of moving a stone is merely rabbinic in nature. It's part of the realm of muktzah, but for maintenance of human dignity, we allow tiltal muktzah, and hence the allowance for moving the stones for wiping, for cleaning yourself after relieving. Marzutra chasida, the Marzutra, the pious, shokil, he would take the stone out, umahader and put it back in, the Omar le leshame, he would tell his servant on a weekday, zil shirke, replaster it, fixing it properly into its place. Umahalchin b'shvili harashus ad shetere revio shnia. The permission to cut through people's fields after the grain harvest until the second rainfall. Omar Rav Papa, the Hadidon, Rav Papa was in Bovel, and he says, our fields, our land is very sensitive. Afilu tal kashila, even after a mere presence of dew on the land, trampling through the field on the next day would be injurious to the field. So Rav Papa indicates that what people in Eretz Israel can benefit from shortcuts through fields during the non-growing season is not so in our fields in Bovel. Umesalkin letzidei hadrochim mipnei yiseidos hadrochim. The permission to walk along the sides of fields, the field borders that ran along the roads during the summer season when the roads proper were cracked. Shmuel v'Rav Yehuda havu shakli v'azli b'urchav. Havu mistalek Shmuel letzidei hadrochim. Shmuel walked off to the sides, namely walking on the borders of people's fields. Amarle Rav Yehuda, Tnoyin Shiisna Yeshua Filu Bebovel. I should have mentioned that the story of Shmuel and Rav Yehuda was in Bovel. And Shmuel's practice here by walking off to the sides, off the road, into people's fields, walking along field borders, as I said, the story took place in Bovel. So Rav Yehuda says, that heter, does it apply to Bovel also? Omer le, shani omer afilu b'chutz la'aretz. It applies even in all lands outside of Israel, and all the more so to Bovel. Rebbe, v'rebichia havu shakli v'azli b'urcha, istalku l'tzidei hadroch, they were on the road, and they went off the road because of the cracks and walked along the sides. Have a komafsiya v'azi Rabbi Yehuda ben Kenusa Kamayu. Lo and behold, in front of them there was walking on the road itself Rabbi Yehuda ben Kenusa. Mafsiya means he was taking very large steps. Just imagine the cracked road with all the gaps in it require one, if you want to maintain your level walking, you'll have to take broad steps across to cross the crevices that are underfoot. So he was taking these broad steps. Amarle Rebbe the Rebbe Chia Mihu Zeh Shemara Gedula Befoneinu. Who is this guy who's showing off in front of us? What do we mean by that? This practice of staying on the road when you have permission, you have a tnai of Yeshua to walk more easily along the sides, along the borders of people's fields, and he doesn't want to take advantage of that allowance. He wants to create an image of excessive piety. Rashi mentions merci ki yura. It appears. One, it's an act of haughtiness. Excessive piety is called yuhara. Public displays of excessive piety. Amalei Rebchia says to Rebbe, you're asking who is that guy? Shema Rebbe Yehuda ben Kenusa Talmidi who? It might be Rebbe Yehuda ben Kenusa, my student, v'chol ma'aseiv l'shem shamayim. You should know that what he does is with pure heavenly intent. If he's doing whatever he does, he's not doing to show off. Kimotu legabe chazye, when they met up with him, they saw who it really was. It was he, Amale, and he said, "Ilav Yehuda ben Kenusa at." If you were not Yehuda ben Kenusa, that we know you do things with pure intention. Gezartinu l'shokech begizra de parzala. That's an expression. Maybe we'll give you a literal translation, but the point is, we would have excommunicated you. I don't know if I've mentioned in the past. I seem to recall, yes, back on Daf Nun Tes, in this Masechta Daf Nun Tes, the Nun Tes Amid Aleph at the bottom and went up to Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis. If you remember the story with the Eliezer Zahira wearing the black shoes in mourning over the destruction of Jerusalem, the Gemara said that that appeared to be a public act of excessive piety. That too was yuhara. I think we mentioned in our shir at that point that the Talmud has no patience for people who publicly display their excessive piety. In other words, if the halacha provides an allowance, permission to do something, and you resist taking advantage of that permission that you're granted, there you're getting into a realm that if it's on a public level, it becomes this hashash yuhara. And there we said the Talmud has no patience for that. And here you can see how extreme an offense that is, that it would warrant excommunication. The literal translation of this phrase, though I don't see the significance of translating it, but Gezartinu l'shokech, we would have cut off your legs, begizra de parzala, with a type of metal saw. But what it means, as we said before, it's excommunication. Hatoya bein hakromim, number 10, mafsig v'yored mafsig v'oyla. One who is lost in the thickets of a vineyard, in order to make his way out, he has a right to break off branches to clear for himself a path to try to get out. Tanu rabbanon, haroya chaveru toya bein hakromim. If you see your friend is lost in the vineyards, so you can mafsig v'oyla mafsig v'yored ad shimaleo le'iro laderech. You can break off branches to get to your friend who's lost, till the point that you're able to put him on his path to the city or to the road. V'chein hu shetoya bein hakromim. So to an individual who is lost and confounded amongst the thickets of the vineyards, mafsig v'oyla mafsig v'yored. You can break off branches and ascend, and break off branches and descend. Ad shi'ale le'ir o laderech, until you get to the city or the road. My v'chein. What does this second part of the source inform me? In other words, the source began by saying, if you see your friend lost, so you can break branches in order to help him out. So, is it not obvious that if you're lost, you can do the same thing? So what do we gain by having that taught here? So the Gemara answers, without that, mahu detema, I would have thought, chavero hu diyoda lehecho misalek denifso. You are not lost. You notice that your friend is lost. So you can break off branches. You know exactly the route to take. So my understanding is that though you're allowed to break off branches, it'll be a minimal amount of branches broken, because you have a direct line to the fellows down there in the vineyard that's lost. So that we could allow. Avol hu, but a person himself, the lo yoda lehecha kasolik lo nifsog, but you who are lost in the middle of the vineyard and you're trying to continue en route, maybe we're not going to allow you to break off branches. Nehadre nehader be mitzri. It means just retrace the steps backwards from where you came. And at that point, then just go the long way around. Komash malon, so the source tells us that we don't demand that of a person lost in a vineyard to simply backtrack and go the long way around, but rather you have a right to continue breaking branches in an attempt to get to continue on your journey to, we'll call it, to the other side. The Gemara asks, "Ha d'oraisahu?" What we are talking about, breaking branches to help your friend, that's something that the Torah allows. The Torah accounts for it. What do I need Yoshua and his enactment for that? D'sanya hashavas gufo minayin. We know about the mitzvah of returning lost articles. From where do we know the mitzvah of returning a person to himself, so to speak, returning his body? That means a person is lost, so that also helping him out of his state of being lost, that's also a type of return. So where do we know that that is a mitzvah? Talmud Lomar v'hashivoso, you shall return him. So that what is Yehoshua introducing that I don't already know from the Torah? The Gemara answers, "Deiraisa hu dekoi beMitzri." From a Torah standpoint, all that one would be able to conclude is, as Rashi says, "Deiraisa beMitzri yakif svivos mitzorei hakromin velo yavor besochom viafsidom." That if it's a matter of helping someone who's lost, that by going around the borders of the fields and helping him find his way, that we could allow. But to go into a vineyard and cause loss in order to help someone, I wouldn't know from the Torah. I didn't know that the Torah allows going into someone's field and break branches in order to help someone find his way. Also, who Tokin the mafsig v'oile mafsig v'yorin. Yehoshua came along and made that entitlement, that people are entitled to break branches in order to clear a path in their attempt to find their way. Umeis mitzvah konam akaymai v'ramini. We raise a stira to this concept of meis mitzvah, or the rule that the body is buried where you find it. We have a contradiction to that from the following source. Hamoitze meis mutol bisratyo. If you find a body lying in a public thoroughfare, mifaneu liyaminas ratyo lismolas ratyo. You move the body to the right of the road, to the left of the road. You have now several choices as we go on in the source. You have two sides of the road. On one side, Soda Bur, the Soda Nir on the other side. Soda Bur is an uncultivated field. Soda Nir is a plowed field. Where should you bury the body? Mefaneo the Soda Bur. There's less loss involved. It's simply it's a barren field. So bury the body there. Soda Nir v'Soda Zera. The choice here is on one side of the road is a near is a plowed field, and the other is a soda zera, planted field. Mifaneo le soda near. You bury the body in the plowed field, not in the one that's already been planted. Hoyu shteim buro shteim niro shteim zeros. Let's say the road, the fields on either side of the road are of the same nature, the same status. So mifaneo le mokum shiyutza. Move the body to wherever you want. Rashi at this point says Mifaneu, we have a little star in the Rashi, third of the way up from the bottom. Mifaneu Alma, you see from here, this idea of moving the body to, it shows you Lo Kona Makomo. He doesn't acquire the spot where it was found. The Kona Makomo, Motzi Baal HaSodah Sheyamin V'Shel Smol Akove. If Meis Kona Makomo, the body acquires the spot it's found, so the owners of those fields to the right of the road, to the left of the road, could express their objections. Don't bury it here. And yet you see that they can't express their objections, indicating that the body does not acquire the spot on which it is found. And yet, in the list of Tanoim of Yehoshua, we said otherwise. Omer of Bevai, B'mutal al hametzar. The tanai the situation in this source that speaks about the moving of the body is where the body was found lying across the entire width of the public thoroughfare. Mitoch shenitan lefanoso, since you have a right to move it from there, you can't bury a body that would take up the entire width of the public thoroughfare. Just imagine kohanim have to walk over the road, or people carrying food requiring purity have to walk over the road. They wouldn't be able to. The defilement projected by this corpse would ruin all of those, would defile them. So since in a case like that the body is lying across the width of the road, then you have the option of moving it to wherever you want. We say wherever you want, that would be in the given that on both sides of the road you have equal quality fields. The Gemara now raises the question that we alluded to much earlier. Amri, you said at the bottom of Pei Omid Beis, Asora, 10 conditions that Yoshua stated. Hani Chad Sori Havyan, but we counted up to 11. The Gemara answers, you're right. And you know what? Number 8 is not one of Yoshua's takonas. It's not one of Yoshua's conditions. Ma'achin b'shvila reshus shloimoy omra. That was a later institution by King Solomon, who followed Yoshua by several hundred years. Kidisanya hare shekolu peroisov minasode. The shvila reshus was the permission to cut through as a shortcut people's fields in the interim season when there's no nothing growing and nothing's been planted. So the source tells us Share Shikolu, kolu means finished off, harvested, peiros of minasada, the fruit growing in the fields, the produce of the field has been gathered in. V'eino miniach b'nei odom likones besoch sodeo, and nevertheless the owner of the field objects to having people going through his field. Ma'abrios amrosalov, what do people say about someone like that? Ma no yeshlo ploni, ma'abrios mazikos lo. What benefit does so and so have by keeping people out? What is the public, the brios, the creatures, the public? How are they hurting him? Olav akosav omer, regarding him, the verse says. Now we're going to read a couple words. The Gemara is going to ask, and after we read this, this isn't the verse. But anyway, it says here, it's regarding a person like that, it says, Mi'ois toiv al tikri ra. Be good, be kindly, and not be called wicked. Umi ksiv mi'ois toiv al tikri ra. Does it say that in the scriptures? The verse says, in ksiv, ki haigafna, a pasuk appears that mentions this idea. Al timna tov mi'bailov bios li'olio decholasos. Don't withhold a good. Don't withhold kindness from those who from those who deserve it when you have it within your power to act kindly. The Gemara asks, we mentioned that there were 10 tenoyim of Yoshua. The diamonds indicate v'ha ikar, they're not more. And you can see, if you look closely at your Gemara text, you'll notice framed sources, and there's a squiggle underline in each one of them. What does it say? In the squiggle underline, it says, Sha'al menas kein hinchi Yeshua l'Yisrael es-Horetz. With this in mind, Yeshua enabled the Jewish people to inherit the land. So we see more things will appear that fall under this category. Why were they not mentioned? Why did you say there were 10? There are more. Since we're not reading a suspense novel, I won't hesitate to, let's say, ruin the suspense by telling you the answer at the outset. These are Tanaic sources, but they're individual opinions. And at the end of the frame section, you can see at the bottom line, the Yechidoi lo kamrinon. Opinions of individuals we don't include. When we said that there were 10, there were 10 tonight and 10 conditions that are not individual opinions, private opinions, the minority opinions, but they're general, generally they're accepted, unanimously accepted conditions. Okay, now the question. This, and we have a long question marking, as you can see. The Suleka, are there not more than 10 Tnoyim that Yeshua made? The Ha Ika de Rebbe Yehuda, is there not that which Rebbe Yehuda teaches, the son of Rebbe Yehuda Omer? Bishas Hoitzaz Volim. Adam Motzi Zivlo, Lirushus Harabim. The Shas Hoitzaz Volim is a reference, you can see this in other Gemaras, a reference to the rainy season. I believe we've discussed this much earlier in this particular Masechta, back on Daf Lamed. That's a time that the streets are muddy. It's a rainy season. People can take their garbage, their food residue, and place it out in the street where people will trample over it. And the trampling over it converts it into a material suitable to be used as fertilizer. And v'tzovro kol shloshim, you have a right to leave it out there for 30 days, kidei she nishof baragli adam baragli behemah, so that it's trampled by people passing by and by animals passing by. Sha'al menas ken hinchu Yeshua l'Yisrael, as far as this practice, this allowance to put your garbage out in the rainy season when it's, as we said, it's muddy anyway, is to be tolerated. It was on this condition that Yeshua enabled the Jewish people to inherit the land of Israel. V'ho'ika, is there not the Rabbi Shmuel Benosh Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka? Rabbi Shmuel's teaching, the Sanya, Rabbi Shmuel Benosh Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka Omer. Here we have a double underline, one of our series markings. As you can see, there are several of these conditions that he features. Tanai based in who? It's a condition, a stipulation, literally a court stipulation. But the culmination of this is it's at the time of Yeshua this was instituted. Tanai based in who? Shei ze yorei l'sof stei chaveru v'koitzeis Shoichay shel chaveru lahatzil nochil shelo, v'nosein lo demei shochel shel chaveru. This Tanai states that if a person was raising bees, probably for honey production, and his swarm of bees settled upon the branch, shoichay shel chaveru, a branch of your neighbor's tree. How are you going to recover your bees? If you're going to try to pick them off one by one, the rest of them will fly away. The only option you have is to go into the other fellow's field, saw off the branch on which your swarm of bees have settled. But by doing that, you're causing the owner of the field, of that tree, a loss. So the condition is, you can save your swarm of bees by cutting off his branch, but you have to compensate him. That's demei shochel. You have to pay him for the value of the branch. V'tanai based in who? Shiezeh shefich yeno matzu duvshana shechaver. Imagine there are two people walking along. You're carrying a barrel of wine, and your friend is carrying a barrel of honey. Honey is more expensive, more valuable than wine. His honey barrel cracked. He's losing all his honey. What can be done? You can spill out your wine. Now you have an empty proper barrel, uncracked barrel, and the honey that in the meantime would be a loss will flow into or pour the honey into your wine barrel. But I spilled out my wine. So very nice. I saved his honey. So that we go on in the source. After you saved his honey, you say, "Listen, the wine, your honey is worth twice the amount of my wine. So you know what? give me half of your honey, that will be a compensation for the wine I spilled out. At least you're left with half the amount of honey. You would have been left with nothing otherwise. The scenario is your two people are walking along, and they have one has each one has a donkey. One is carrying wood, and the other is carrying flax. The flax donkey, the flax carrying donkey, drops dead. The guy carrying that has the wood, his donkey is alive, it's fine. So now flax is worth more than wood. So the Tanai based in the condition that the public accepted practice is that you will abandon your wool, throw off the wood from your donkey, load up your donkey with his pishtun, with his flax. Flax is the raw material from which linens are made. So you pile up his flax on your donkey. Ah, what about the wood, your own wood that you had to throw away? Like we said before, with the honey and the wine, you'll be able to recover the value of the wood from a portion of the pishtun which was worth much more than the wood. With these practices in mind, Joshua entitled the Jewish people to inherit the land. So you see, quite a few more special allowances that Yehoshua was responsible for. Why did we say at the outset that there were only 10? The Gemara answers, Bi'achidoi, lo kwamrinon. Our list of 10 are majority accepted, not individual opinions. These are yichidoi. Yochid means individuals. These are individual opinions of what else was included in the Tanoim, the conditions of Yehoshua. We continue at the top of Daf Pei Beis, Amud Aleph. Now, we will introduce this Gemara. We have a diamond, but it's an unusual marking. This is to draw your attention to the fact that Even though a new Tanai of Yehoshua is going to be mentioned here, the purpose of this question at the top line is not to introduce another question, another Tanai to add to the list. That's not our purpose here. But rather, we're introducing a condition in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of an Amora, Rabbi Yochanan. The problem here is, how can Rabbi Yochanan say that here this is a condition that Joshua expressed when the Tanaic source gave us a list? It gave us a list, and this wasn't in the list, indicating that this is not a condition of Yehoshua. Hence, we have here a question on Rabbi Yochanan. Let's read this in the Gemara. Faha ki also ravin am Rabbi Yochanan echad, whether it be ilon hanoita l'seich ste chavero. One has a tree that's leaning over into someone else's field. Now you have fruit on the tree, but the fruit is growing over someone else's property. You're going to harvest your tree. You're going to harvest it, all of the fruit. You're going to harvest, but part of the tree was growing over someone else's field. The echad ilon hasamuch lemeitzar, or a tree that's growing next to someone else's border. You're gonna mevi v'kore. You'll bring the. This is a reference to the mitzvah of bikurim, the first fruits. V'kore means, and you'll read the section of the Torah in which it says that you acknowledge the kindliness of the Almighty, who provided you with the ability to bring fruits from your field. Technically speaking, the fruits aren't necessarily from your field when it's fruits growing over someone else's field. But we say Shamanas Kane Hinchil Yehoshua the Yisrael Soretz. It was with this kind of scenario in mind that Yehoshua said, you are going to inherit the land. In other words, you'll bring Bikurim, and say Minu Adoma Asher Nasatali, that these fruits are from the fields that you gave me, in other words, my fields, even though on a certain level the fruits aren't really from your field, being that they're growing over someone else's field. But nevertheless, you're going to bring the fruits, read the parsha with that statement in it. This was part of the conditions that Yeshua stated upon entrance to the land of Israel. Now, our question, just to reiterate, how can Rabbi Yochanan make this claim when it wasn't in the original list? The Gemara answers, Elo man tono asora tonayim shisna Yeshua. Who taught the ten? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi who? It was taught by another Amora. It wasn't a Tanaic source. In asking the question, we ask, how can the Amora Rabbi Yochanan say something that would run counter to a Tanaic source? We thought up till this point that the list of ten was part of a Tanaic source. We answer, it's not a Tanaic source. It's a list of ten that was taught by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yochanan can argue on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rav Gvia mi Beik Seal, Rav Gvia from a place called Beik Seal, Masni Lo Behedya. He actually presents the ten conditions explicitly in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. No mistake be made. Rav Tanchum Verbri Brice, Amri Mishum Zokin Echad, Umanu Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Asora Tanoim Hisna Yehoshua. So according to the version that Rabbi Gvio Mibeik Seal presents, you see that the ten conditions were taught to us by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. That is, Rav Tanchum and Mibreis had taught over in the name of a particular sage, and that sage was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that there were ten conditions that Yehoshua had made. So, with this approach, it's very clear that it was not a Tanaic source. And if you recall, at the very beginning of our shiur, we had employed a dashed frame around the ten conditions for this very reason, that in reality it's not a Tanaic source, but it's a list taught by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.